Alante here. Before I start this week's episode, I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this audio blog. Blacken and Grad School was created to encourage and empower women and people of color to and through the grad school journey. Enjoy! What's up, y'all? It's Alante with another episode of Blacken in Grad School, and I'm really excited about my guest today. I have Miss Autumn, who is one half of Blackademia, which is a very dope blog and podcast that covers all things in higher ed for Black folk. Thank you so much for joining, Autumn.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, we were able to kind of connect over Twitter, and I feel like I'm just really excited that this like community of like Black grad school blogger creatives is like thriving and so robust that we can all like work together.
Yeah, it's really dope to like, I didn't know this was a space a year ago, year and a half ago. And to watch how all of us have kind of come together and started chatting and collaborating. It's really cool.
I know. Yes, I completely agree. Okay, well, let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're up to right now.
Yes, so I am a second year doc student at the University of Maryland in the College of Education. My department is teaching, learning, policy, and leadership. And then my specific program is language, literacy, and social inquiry. So it's a lot of words to basically just say I study Black girls and literacy. That's all. Should I talk about Blackademia now, or you want me to hold off on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool. I started Blackademia with Tiffany almost like a year and a half ago now, I think. We were both just like having lots of conversations about education and what it was like. Some background, Tiffany is an administrator in education. And I at the time was working as a teacher and then moved to get my master's. And the conversations we were having weren't changing. Like they were the same conversations at every level of education, right? So her as an administrator, me as a teacher, and then a grad student, like we were seeing the same things over and over. And it started as a joke. We were like, we should make a podcast, Kiki. And then after a while, after continuing to have these conversations and even like talking to some of our other friends and they were seeing some of the same trends, we were like, no, this really needs to be a thing. So we started as a blog first to kind of, you know, gain some traction and like see what was out there. And then we were like, all right, it's time to put our boots to the ground and really get focused. So we did the podcast.
Nice. Okay. I love it. And I really like you all's format. Like it sounds like you all are definitely like actual friends, not you know, collaborating. And not that there's anything wrong with working with someone because you have the same vision, but to have a relationship on the back end, I think it's also really powerful. So I'm happy you're a second year. Now I have so many questions and I'm totally going to be selfish about them because you are where you're at the end of the road that I'm about to start as I'm a year behind you. So like first tell us like, what made you choose higher education? And when I say that, I mean like deciding to get a master's and a PhD.
Yeah, so I was teaching and there were just a lot of things that I felt I didn't have control over, like things that I wanted to change. But I was like, it's not my students. There's a lot of stuff going on with administration, but I don't necessarily want to be an administrator. And there are just like things going on at higher levels that are like really problematic that are affecting kids at the K-12 level. And so I thought I wanted to go into policy. So I went to Penn to get my master's in policy. But when I was there, the program was very quantitative and very macro and didn't focus at all on the individual experiences of people. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like you're reducing people's experiences to numbers and like numbers are important, right? But like people are actually going through things and like, let's talk about that. And so I was an English teacher, was an English major in undergrad, and the more I started thinking about it, the more I was like, I really, am interested in like literacy and policy and Black kids and like all of those things and how they come together. So Maryland was kind of like the perfect choice because my advisor was studying like multicultural literacy and like all of this stuff. And she's just really dope. It's not super far from home. I'm close to my family. And so, you know, I was like, this is the route I want to go. I also think that like, in order for me to, you know, kind of get into some of the spaces I want to get into and make some of the change that I really want to be able to happen in education, I need to have, like, as a Black woman, I need to have the word doctor in front of my name to be taken seriously in some of those spaces.
Yeah, that's real. I definitely can feel you on that. So what led you to this research interest beyond, I mean, I understand like being in English, but you know, you can always, there are a lot of directions you can go with English as a background. But what made you pick literacy?
So I think I chose literacy specifically because there's a lot of work that says that like our kids are illiterate, right? Like they're not reading or like they're not capable of doing X, Y, Z things. Mm-hmm. And as someone who was in the classroom, I was like, but I'm watching kids do all of these things. They might not be able to like, I don't know, like conjugate a verb in a particular way for a particular time or know that like a preposition doesn't come at the end of the sentence. But those are all like things that in the grand scheme of things are irrelevant anyway. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm watching them do some really like high level thinking about things. So for people to say they're illiterate and for like me to get these reports and numbers, and not even necessarily just about my kids, but about like Black students nationally, I was like, this is not okay. And so I took a class when I was doing my master's program on like adolescent literacy and learned about like multi-literacies and this idea that like people, literacy is something that is like social and cultural, right? And so like we practice literacy differently, but unfortunately, like we are only tested on standardized like white literacy. And so I'm really interested in like finding out the ways that like our kids are practicing literacy in schools so that we can like shift the narrative so that it's not, they're not looked at in a deficit sort of way, but it's like, look at all these skills they're bringing to the classroom. And like, let's also give them these other skills, but let's not like just totally throw out and ignore the things that they already have.
Right. Oh my gosh. Now, this is the only thing like with interviews, I get enthused about anyone else's research. I'm like, that sounds really interesting. Just the idea of like multi-literacy. I've never heard of that before. I'm not in the higher education space. Mm-hmm. So like, wow, that's great.
Yeah. And I mean, like, even when I think about like the way, so like I said, my work is on Black girls specifically. And when I think about the way that Black girls are often like seen in the news and like on TV, and like we are just portrayed all the time as like these angry, loud, stereotypical Black girls, right? But like, even the way we behave and act in class is like very much a form of literacy, right? Like for a girl to like I know you remember the girl who the police officer threw her on the ground for not giving up her cell phone, right? But like even her act of resistance of like, I'm not giving you my cell phone right now, right? Like that's a form of literacy that like isn't acknowledged. And when it's not acknowledged, right, then we see things like the police officer throwing her on the ground as opposed to like somebody having a conversation with her.
Right. Wow. Okay. Now I have a question. So like, how was that a form of literacy? I'm just so
curious. Yeah. So that's a form of like what's called like resistance literacy, right? Of her idea, her understanding of like, I have this cell phone out right now at this moment. What you're asking me to do isn't conducive to like what needs to happen in order for me to learn. And so I'm not going to put it away. Eventually she did put it away. Right. But then the teacher asked her to leave the class and she was like, no, I'm not leaving the classroom because I have a right to be in this classroom to learn, right? I did what you asked me to do and I'm not going to leave. And so she's reading the situation around her and she's saying, it's in my best interest to put the phone away. It is not in my best interest to leave this classroom because I am a member of this community in this space and I have a right to be here.
Ooh, okay. Wow. I love it. I have something to think about tonight and just kind of grapple with.
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing. It really is just like amazes me every time when I talk to different people about their work. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, there's so much out there and like, I don't know about your field, but like we don't communicate across fields and that's such a problem.
Oh, I was just having that conversation with somebody over the weekend, just like how much we work in silos, but like, somehow I feel like because like there's such a smaller community of like Black scholars, I know about other people's work that's not related to mine just because I want to talk to someone who looks like me about research. And so that's how I learn a lot. But I had never talk to someone in the literacy space. So I'm excited. And we'll have to talk some more like offline about this, but super excited about your work and like hoping to, you know, kind of keep up with it. I put you on my Google alerts.
Oh, word. Thank you.
So, okay. So you told us about your, how you picked your research, and you told us about how you picked your, how you picked, like, you know, chose your path in graduate school. So what are your plans? You kind of alluded to it a little bit, but what do you want to do after you're done?
So I think that I would like to start some type of like literacy center or program, right? Working with, excuse me, I don't know what's going on with my voice today. Working with Black and Brown students. I haven't decided whether I want to do this in like quote unquote urban communities or like cities yet, or like legit the way gentrification is working, we're being pushed out to suburbs. So it's a lot of us there now too. So I don't know what that means for like where I'll end up. I know that I want to work specifically with kids, but also be a professor. So like whatever I do, I need to work out some type of deal with the university to be like, hey, yes, I'll do research, but know that I need to be like, I need FaceTime with children or else this is not going to work for me.
That's beautiful. You know, bless you for having that gift. Because this, I love teaching. I love it a lot. I just don't like it. I could teach other adults. Okay. I can
become a professor. And you got that because that one is not for me.
I love it. I like either like second graders who are like super young or adults. Like pretty much once you hit like fourth grade, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're evil. And I will wait until they're in college and back trying to figure out themselves.
And see, I like them around sixth grade. I don't like seventh graders. I think seventh graders all over are the worst people on the planet. Like I don't, something happens at that grade, but I like sixth and then eighth through 12th. I love them.
Oh my goodness. Well, look, there's a ministry for everybody. Bless it.
Yes.
Okay. So what is your, well, and I know you talk about, I talk a lot probably about your, how you navigate grad school being Black and a woman on your podcast. But if you want to share like maybe like one standout story today, that'd be cool. Or kind of what all you cover on the podcast.
So on the podcast, we've broken it down into some segments. And so the first thing we do really is bringing in like celebrations and focusing just like on being joyful. Cause it's real easy to get bogged down in these spaces and just forget, one, why you started, and two, like, you know, how to maintain your joy. So we do that. We have a blast from the past where we talk about something in history dealing with education. So one time we talked about, Lincoln University's first Black president, which was something that like Tiffany here researched, and I didn't know that like Lincoln's first president wasn't Black. That's mind boggling. But we talked about that, some of the implications of it. We talked about like the Journal of Negro Education, which is run out of Howard, and is a publication for like where Black folks have had a space to publish when we weren't publishing other places before. So people like Du Bois have published there. I want to say Booker T. Washington, but like just some really, really prolific names from the past. We celebrate a woman of the week, which we had said at one point wasn't always going to be a woman, but so far it has because we're just doing really dope things in spaces. So like we talked about the little girl Marley Davis who did the Black books for girls. I just love her. We talked about the woman, and I'm drawing a blank on her name right now, but she does the Black Girls Code program.
Okay. I don't want to say the wrong name either, because there, you know, there are a couple. I'm thinking of some local ones in Detroit. I'm like, Marlon? But I don't think she does Black Girls Code.
No, this is the woman who started the, like, national one.
Yeah.
Well,
we know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, she's super dope. And then we kind of talk about some like, we wrap it up with some things that are like current events or things that are happening at the moment in education spaces. So anything from like the school shootings that happened and the walkouts and marches that happened as a result, or even, what are some other things we've talked about? Dad, we just things that are going on currently in education. We talked about Betsy DeVos and her kind of changing the regulations for Title IX and what that means for women on college campuses who have been sexually harassed or have been victims of sexual harassment or violence. And so, yeah, we kind of just like, we cover a real big breadth of things. But we also want to make sure that there's space for like people to talk across fields and across even like age groups and levels of education, because there's not a whole lot of spaces where like Black folks in particular are talking like between primary and kindergarten, primary and K-12 and tertiary and grad school. So we kind of just like bring all of it in together.
Yeah, I love it. I think that I listened to the HBCU episode after watching, are we calling it Beachella now? Like after watching that,
I missed it. Oh my goodness. I'm trying so hard to find the video somewhere.
There are so many links like floating around. So I'll see, I actually end up watching something on my Twitter.
Okay.
Like someone like posted it and I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And then I know that Coachella actually restreamed it. So they might do that again.
Okay. I was like, cause I've been so anti Coachella for so long, but to see her go up there and just be super Black, I was like, I'm with it.
It was so, I mean, it was like the moment I saw it, I was like, oh, so this is who told her about these HBCU bands? Like she ate it up. Like, and them, you know, like them, Jesus. And those, like majorette dances, like that is so specifically a typical HBCU band kind of situation. So after that, and I went to the HBCU for undergrad, so like after that, and then wanted to make sure I listened in, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just listening to this HBCU episode real quick. Just but one thing I did want to say about, like, there was a documentary that came out, I want to say, like, it was in February, right? The HBCU documentary that was on PBS.
Yes.
And they had a pretty, I feel like, you know, a good overview of the history of HBCUs. But I learned then that, like, no HBCUs, like, original presidents were Black. So
yeah, after that episode, I went back and did some research, and I was like started thinking about it, and like the way that like land grants and like the Bureau and like all of those things worked, and I was like, this actually makes a whole lot of sense. It's tragic, but it makes a lot of sense for the way that the country's history has worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly. I thought that was, I mean, and like of course I, you know, listening to it late, right after all of those things of time has passed, probably affected me not knowing, but I definitely was like surprised when I heard about it in the documentary. But that, since I already knew that knowledge when I heard it, I was like, doesn't surprise me. But at least it was in the 40s, I think is what you all said, that he became president. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about Black academia. How do you balance that in actual grad school?
I don't know. I am actually like not naturally a really good manager of my time. I tend to be someone who does not like a whole lot of structure and order. And I think like one, grad school has taught me that that's not an option. And then two, like doing this in grad school has made me a little bit more, made me think more strategically about how I use my time. So typically I'm up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's when I do a lot of my reading, writing, that kind of stuff. And so I do what I have to do so I can do what I want to do. And so after like the things that need to be done for school or for my assistantship are done, then I kind of spend time, thinking about and working on things for Blackademia. It's also a team, right? So like it's me and Tiffany, but there are a lot of people behind the scenes too. So we are about to do a reboot soon of our book club. And there are two women who we haven't announced them on like social media yet, but it'll be coming up like right before the book club happens. they do all of the book club stuff. Like they're choosing the book and reading and previewing and coming up with questions. I also have a really good friend who is one of the social media coordinators. And that's helpful too, because social media, like you said, is really dope, but it's just also a lot. Yes. And there are a lot of different, like Twitter is probably where most of us live, but I think there are other platforms that are useful for things too. So like we did a brunch last year and we want to do another one this year. And Instagram is a better space to like gain traction for an event like that.
Let me know. I'm only a 4-hour drive. I'll make a drive for a brunch.
Yes. Yes. I will definitely let you know. But yeah, so I think between like figuring out how to be real strategic with my time and then also having a team, that makes it manageable.
That's great. That's so great that you like have a team. So last question before we get into this like talk, I'm really excited about it, is there any advice you have for current Black graduate students?
Yes, I would say the advice that like I continue to try to give to myself right now, and that I think has been useful when I've said it to other people, is give yourself grace. I think mm-hmm. that we get so caught up in the weeds that we don't see our own growth. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I was asked to come do like my first year presentation for the current group of first years. And I pulled it up for the first time since I had finished that class. And I was like, "Ooh, this is a mess." But like, that's something I was really proud of when I handed it in. And so in that moment, I was like, wow, Autumn, you've made all of this growth over this whole year and you haven't given yourself credit for any of this because you're so busy critiquing the work you're currently doing. So I think like just constantly taking moments to step back and think of like where you've come from and where you are so that we're not constantly just like downing ourselves, but we can praise ourselves for those things too.
Yeah, I'm super. I love that. It's really speaking to me right now because something that I am working on daily. And also, I think being a little bit less critical of what I'm doing right now and just kind of, I'm like, oh, I want to finish something to be proud of it. A lot of my stuff is like, it's done. Whew. Okay. Mm. Next on my list, you know, I have yet, I think, to turn anything in that like, I'm like, well, no, my manuscript I'm relatively proud of, but school wise, like everything is like, I'm just happy it's done.
Yeah, because it moves so fast and there's so many deadlines and yeah.
Oh my gosh. Get me started. I'm literally like, okay, how am I about to do these last 2-3 weeks of school? Like I'm going to get through it, but it feels like a little overwhelming right now. Cool. All right. Thank you. That's the main interview partner. We're going to have some fun.
Okay.
So we're going to do Lessons from the Trap a little bit like the remix. I'm going to release this earlier than I originally planned because it's like, I feel like we need to do this on time. I'm about to talk about this new Drake joint, this Cardi B album, and some gems in both as they relate to grad school. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Where you want to start?
Let's start with Drake because that's like real quick. We can go ahead on after that.
No. That's going to repeat. No, I said like, I know, like I agree.
Listen, that song. Oh my goodness. I was doing my meal prep for the week and listened to it like 4 times in a row. I was like, Autumn, this is too much.
And all I kept thinking is this is what happens when you listen to women. Mm-hmm. Like Drake listens.
He does.
That's it. He listens and he puts into a song. And I'm like, whoever you talking to is telling the truth. And then like you legitimately listen.
Yep. Wow. Do you watch Insecure?
I do.
There's an episode where Daniel was like, why do all college educated Black women love Drake? And she's just like, he gets us. And that's just how I feel. Like he, like you said, somebody is out there coaching him or just like pouring wisdom into him. And he is sincerely listening and hearing and digesting all that they are saying.
Seriously, because I'm trying to think of the line that like got me because I was listening to it today. Like Friday, I don't even think I might have played Invasion of Privacy one time full out and the rest of the night I was playing Nice for Fun. The weather here too, like Pittsburgh, it snowed on Tuesday, but it was 75 on Friday. So I'm like, oh, I am Tracy Ellis Ross in that sun, in that video.
Yes.
That is how I'm feeling right now. But it's just like, you know, you've been working hard, you got your bills paid, you think nobody see it, but I see you. It's like, yes, I do. We be grinding.
Yes, yes, yes. And then my other line is where he says, you really piping up on these niggas. You got to be nice for what to these niggas? Like, come on. Because this nice stuff, like, I've had enough. Like, that scene with Issa at the table and all those white men, I feel like that in grad school so many times. So many times. And I was like, this is an anthem, Drake. This is a word.
This is... spot on. Because when I first heard, I was like, okay, yes, like I love Bounce, you know, I'm a, you know, Lauryn Hill sample, okay. The first time I heard, I was like, okay, this is good. Then I listened and I like instantly fell in love. But the fact that I can rock to it like through everything, like I'm going to Broccoli City in a couple weeks and I can't wait to hear it.
To my hood. I was gonna go and just sold my ticket, but
I don't blame. I should have sold my ticket, but I need
I'll still be here, so we can still link.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm low-key down there all the time.
Oh, that's good to know.
School has, like, kept me. When I was working, I was there way too much. Like, I got a whole little life in D.C., but we're not going to get into that. So, yes, no, Nice for What is, like, definitely an anthem, it's more than a bop. That's why I think I like it so much, because... I feel like Invasion of Privacy is a bop.
Okay.
What do you
I would agree with you. I think there are some songs though, and I'm not even going to try to get into like quoting lyrics right now because I can't, but I think it's a bop. I think there are some moments where I'm like, I have that same kind of feeling of like, I don't know, like a certain gusto, like I'm listening to Nice for What, but it's not as consistent. Like that whole song feels just real empowering. And I don't know about the whole album of, you're right, Invasion of Privacy.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like my first response was not well received. I was like, I mean, it's a bop. Like it's definitely a summer album, but I didn't find myself feeling like some parts, like there were certain lyrics in like Get Up 10 that like really had me, you know, feeling motivated, but I feel like it's more like a petty motivation. Mm-hmm. Like only time I lay down is my lady's host to rest. Like I love that line. It's so clever. Mm-hmm. you know, I don't even do any of those things, but like, I like it.
That's real. Yeah, you know, you're not the first person to say that, though. Like, I think that I've had a couple of friends say that they feel the same way about the album, and they're like, oh, it's not as great as everybody gassed it up to be. I don't like the, like, rap ballads that are on there. Like, I can't.
Ring and, I don't even know the other one, but Ring is trash.
Yes, and the one with, is that the one with Kalani?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can take that one off.
Yeah, definitely. I like deleted it from my Apple's library so it won't play when I'm
That is smart. I don't think Spotify lets you do that, but yeah, I like Bickin' Head simply because it feels like middle school. Cause like
I know, right?
That's when that one came out. Yep.
Yeah, no, I do love Bickin' Head. Like even though it is, I think she could have gone harder on it, but I still like it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, you know what song I really like? Get Up 10, because it reminds me a whole lot of, that's the first song. It reminds me a whole lot of Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mill. And I was like, this is, like, the first time I heard it, I was like, this is everything. And, like, I'm not from Philly, but I'm from Pennsylvania. And, like, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl and, like, being out there for the parade and all that energy. And I was like, this is everything.
Literally, that's why I think Crystal and Kid Fury on the read literally were like I know them, I don't know them, but I like to say it, like they were like, it's literally the female Meek Mills. And when I heard her, I was like, first time I heard her, I was like, this does sound very familiar. And I mean, I'm not from here, But I mean, the Dreams and Nightmares is like a club banger. Yes. Like everyone loves it. Everyone goes crazy. I don't know the words to that song. It does not. I think because it never. All I know is hold up, wait a minute, and that's it. And y'all thought I was finished, and I don't know nothing else. And oh no, I do know some more words. It's like all cuss words, but that's it. And so it wasn't one of them songs that I learned, you know, so I could yell top of my lungs at the club. So I think that's why Get Up 10 didn't really stick for me the first couple times. But I was listening to it on Saturday and really like, I was like folding clothes and cleaning up. So I got to really like listen to the lyrics. And I was like, this is actually a good song. And she says, you know, she gives us like some insight into her struggles before, you know, she became, you know, she's had this like, I don't even want to call it overnight, but like this is really high level.
Real fast.
Yeah, it was very fast though. It was like beyond exponential.
Yeah.
So it's a good song. Like I'm not, it's on my list still. Okay. So it's Get Up 10, Drip. I don't like Drip. I mean, I'm happy that she's with Offset. Like I'm happy for her, but I feel like she works with him too much.
The Migos are all up and through this album. All up. But y'all, we can get a break.
Yeah. But I did hear that she, just signed to their agency or like their management
team. I heard that somewhere too.
So I feel like, okay, girl, I mean, just as long as you got your coins protected, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's where people get messed up.
Exactly. But Drip is like, just okay. Big Ahead. We already talked about it. Bodak Yellow. Did you know that she, I'm not going to say she cheated cause that's not true, but the album went like gold because Bodak Yellow had already went.
Oh, gold. I didn't realize that.
There's a new, like, this is the type of stuff that I do when I should be doing homework. I read articles about stuff that I have no control over. It doesn't affect my life. But Bodak Yellow is on the album. I think it was strategic to make her album go like triple, you know, whatever, platinum or gold. The song had already done that, and if a song, the downloads or the listens or whatever for that song get applied to, they just changed the rules like this year where like the billboards, whoever does this, like whatever the agency that controls like your status for your album sales, mm-hmm. they just changed the condition where like in the last year where a single's sales can be applied to the album.
That is wild. I mean, I can't be mad at her. That's smart.
But yeah, because people are like, why is Bodak Yellow on there? And then when I read it, I'm like, well, shoot, I put it on there too. Like, my album is gold.
Yeah.
Off rip. And so she broke a record by being to go gold in one day. But technically, you know, it's kind of like on a technicality. But I'm not mad at her. Be strategic. Be smart. And then, do you like Be Careful?
I do. I think it's a bop.
Okay. I really like it, and it's so funny that Be Careful is her single, which has a bit of the Lauryn Hill sample. Yes. A little, she said it, and then Nice for What came out, and I was like, y'all gotta talk more.
Yeah, it's also crazy how those came out so close together.
Yeah, he was like, everybody, I feel like almost everybody was like waiting for her to come out and then like decided to almost come after her type. I don't know, or maybe I didn't think it'd be as big as it, I don't know, because it just seemed like then Nicki came out with two songs.
I haven't listened to hers yet. Have you listened to them?
I listened to Chun. Actually, I listened to both. I'm already not a big Nicki fan anyway. Okay. I like her better as a featured artist. Like, I feel like she's really strong as a feature. I haven't really liked an album since like Pink Friday, or even giving an album a full chance.
Yeah. Like I liked her in like her Itty Bitty Piggy days.
Okay, I don't even see that. I think I rock with her when she went commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, but it didn't move me. She says a lot of the same lines over and over again.
Yes. She might need a ghostwriter.
She'd be like, my name is Chun-Li, like, okay, how many times you gonna say it, girl? Like, we got mm-hmm. it.
We know those words rhyme because they're the same, Nikki. Like,
right? Like, and even when like male rappers do it, I'm also irritated because literally, even on we're making our way through this set list because I also have some thoughts on She Bad with Cardi B and YG.
Mm.
I love the song, but YG's part is like, he literally just says what she said.
He repeats it. But that's like Lemon with Rihanna and Pharrell. Ooh. It's the same. It's the same lyrics, like Rihanna's verse and then Pharrell's verse, and you like, but she just said all these things, sir. And it was better when she said it.
Dang, and I don't even honestly. I only listen for Rihanna's part, so I never noticed.
Yeah, it's the same words.
Oh, okay, Pharrell. And it's bad one because, like, if Pharrell does it, I feel like everyone's like, "Oh, I can just do it too." Like, you can't do what Pharrell does. Mm-mm. Is a different, he's on a different level. Mm-hmm.
He really is. And people just be like, I'm gonna just take this and apply it. No, he's like, he told y'all he's like in outer space. Like, I don't know why I'm not listening.
Agree. Okay. The next song is Best Life with Chance the Rapper. I was surprised Chance agreed to be on her.
I agree. I was surprised to see Chance on there, but I love anything Chance does.
So. Yeah, he has some good lines, and I meant to write them down to, like, use for Lessons from the Trap, so I'm gonna just give that song, like, an asterisk because it has some good parts. But it was Chance saying it, not Cardi, but it was still good. And then the next one is I Like It, which is the sample, I like it, like
yes,
it.
Yes, that one is my gym anthem.
Ooh, I will try it tomorrow.
Yes, girl, it'll get you through some squats.
Okay, I'm gonna try it. I like it. So this is sometimes where, like, the basic girl comes in out in me sometimes, because she, like, I like them Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I'm like, oh, that's what they are. I like them. No, I love that line. It's like so simple, but I love it. Like, me too, Cardi. We're gonna skip Ring because we already talked about that. And then Moneybag. I feel like everyone loves Moneybag.
Yeah.
And then Barty and Cardi. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can skip that one.
Yeah, did you see the meme about the girl, the dude who's like, I'm about to be a mommy?
No.
Cardi. It's like, who's about to be a mommy? Cardi.
Oh.
It's like, oh, I almost want to find it right now, but I just kicked my phone away because, like, my group chat is going crazy right now. My phone vibe. Okay, then She Bad. She Bad is a good one. Yeah. And then it's through your phone is that other rap battle.
I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like that song is kind of toxic.
I don't even think I've probably listened to it all of two times. It's just like, I don't even put that into my spirit. I don't go through phones. I just don't care. It's just, those are the things I don't really care about. And then lastly is I Do with SZA. Mm-hmm. Greatness.
Yeah. Yeah. They're both going to be at Broccoli. Oh, I wonder if they're going to perform together.
I figured, wait, SZA's going to be at Broccoli Fest too? Am I slipping?
No, I think she's going to be there. Her and, no, I lied. That's her, not SZA. I lied.
Yeah, so her and Daniel CJ are going to be there together. Yeah. Now that I'm very excited.
Yeah, that's going to be good. I think they're both going to be at Essence, and that's the reason I was like, you know what? I'm going to see them. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like one of my homegirls is going to Coachella next weekend, and she's coming to Broccoli City. I'm like, okay, girl, like, come through. Hey, Brittany. She listened. But I'm like, I got less excited. Well, one, the whole idea of Coachella, like, doesn't really appeal to me. Once my friend told me they had dirt in their nose for 3 days afterwards. Because it's just so much dust and stuff. And they were like, got sick. Like, everyone pretty much got sick. And I was like, I don't want
to. You just, like, build a tent, right? And just, like, stay out there.
Well, there's, like, a shuttle that goes from, I guess, the city out there. So my friends got both of my groups of friends who were going got Airbnb and then just bought the shuttle pass. And they just shuttle between the two.
Okay.
But it just didn't appear. One, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. Two, you spend all this money and this dirt in your nose for like 3 days after you leave. I'm back at home and it's still dirt in my nose. It just don't.
Yeah, if you don't spend all that, like, for that price, you would think you're staying somewhere that's luxurious.
Yeah. I think it's cool. And maybe one day a year I will get excited to go. But I mean, now that it's streaming, I definitely don't.
Oh, yeah, no. I feel like they're going to start charging for that soon, though.
Oh, yeah. And look, they're going to package this year's, because too many people wanted to watch it. Right. I checked before we talked. There were 50,000 people watching the live stream.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah. That's way too much money to like not be taken advantage of. They're going to definitely start packaging. Yeah. And I don't blame them. Like, make your money. I ain't going to watch it then, because I just don't care enough.
So, no, I'm sure going to find this Beyonce thing after this, but that's about it.
Yes, I will see if I can find a link. One of my main go-to is he got shut down earlier. I was watching it as Coachella pulled it off his site. I was so hurt.
No.
Yes. It was kind of funny, though. But I ended up still, like I said, it was restreaming on YouTube. So I was able to watch it there. So it's been 40 minutes. I really want to be conscious of your time. Was there anything else, any other songs or comments that you wanted to add?
Songs right now? No, I've been like, my taste has been starting to change. I think I've been listening to a lot more mellow stuff. Cause like one of my friends said, when you come home from dinner, just like the white foolishness, you just need something a little bit more calm. I've been listening to a lot of her, a lot of Daniel Caesar, a lot of Jamila Woods, who I really like.
I'm going to check her. I haven't heard about her yet.
She's great. Artist from Chicago. There's just so much good music coming out of Chicago right now. But no, that's about it. I'm so glad I got to be on here and that we got to link, and thankful for this opportunity.
Oh, yeah. And I haven't like fully announced it yet, but Autumn is going to be leading a workshop on this project that I'm working on. It's planning on releasing it. Actually, it should be released by the time I do this. So I'll just go ahead. It's called Grad School Ready. It's a virtual summit, and Miss Autumn will be leading If It Wasn't For My Homegirls, The Power and Necessity of Community When Writing, to get your life with this writing. Cause all it does is intensify in grad school. So I'm really excited about you talking about writing groups and how important they are and how useful they are, especially, you know, as people are in or aspiring to graduate school.
Yes, yes. Writing groups are foundational.
Absolutely. They like literally my spring break was productive thanks to a writing group. So I believe it. Well, Autumn, thank you so, 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 so much. I cannot wait to release this, actually. And I know that Black and in Grad School and Blackademia will be collaborating again in the future. Absolutely. So tell us where we can find you on Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz.
So you can find us on Twitter at Read Blackademia, Instagram, same thing. We have a Facebook page, it's Read Blackademia. You can email us at readblackademia@gmail.com. I am also on Twitter at Autumn Adia, AUTUMNADIA, and on Instagram at Autumn Adia 4. That is pretty much it.
All right. Thank you so much. Hi, Alante again. I really want this project to be a resource for my fellow people of color and women in grad school. So if you have any questions or requests for topics, shoot me an email at alante@strengthsnotstrikes.com. That's ALLANTE at strengthsnotstrikes.com. Please remember to subscribe and review and share with your other friends in grad school. Thank you.